Comments and views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates. And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining us for the very first time this evening, a special welcome. I'm glad you're here. And you want to go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter, all right? You'll see it. The link is in red letters right in the center of the page. Big red letters. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Most people don't. They stay with us forever. But, hey, it is absolutely free. One of the big things that has been making the news here lately on the Internet is this photograph that has come from NASA. It's a photograph that was originally it was shot by the rover Spirit. You know, there's two rovers up on Mars still going, and Spirit sent back a photograph. And in this photograph, people searching the photograph for any possible anomalies and so forth did find one. And what they found looks like a human shape seated, looks like a human seated on some rocks on Mars. No, I'm not kidding, really. Really, that's what it looks like. I've done a little reading about this. Actually, I was alerted to this by one of our listeners, and he sent me the links, the original links that I looked at. And since then, several of you have seen this photograph on the Internet, and you have sent me links to it as well. And so I didn't say anything about it because I wanted to get as much information as I could. And, of course, you as you would expect, there are people saying that is a human or a humanoid on Mars. And there are people saying, no, indeed, that's just a rock formation that was eroded in a strange way. Well, the fact is, this I don't think it is a human seated on Mars. It really looks like one. I don't think it is. And the reason I don't think it is because it's only a few inches high and only a few feet away from the Spirit rover. But what it very well could be is an artifact. What it very well could be is something that was carved, a sculpture, that is still somehow out there on the surface. Now, nobody is talking about, in these photographs, nobody's talking about something else I see here that looks pretty interesting. It looks like a sort of a flat serpent right in the foreground. And, I mean, that whatever that is pretty interesting as well. The human-looking figure looks like possibly a female seated and has an outstretched arm and the head sort of cocked over to the side just a little bit. But again, if this is if this were a human or a humanoid, a living thing, it's only a few inches high, but and I don't think it is a living thing, but it does look like an artifact, looks like a sculpture. Take a look at it and see what you think. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. We're going to be talking about some pretty weird stuff. We'll be back.
Nine. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Going to do it twice, I see. All right, we are back, and I don't know what the deal is. We're not able to establish contact with Jerry Wills. I talked to him a few minutes ago, and everything was fine, but at the moment, we are not able to establish contact with him, but perhaps this is Jerry calling in. Let me find out. Is this, by any chance, Jerry Wills?
Hello?
Nope, it's not. All right. So we will try to establish contact with Jerry over the next few minutes and see. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's the weather in the part of the country where he is right now. But whatever the case is, we are not able to establish contact. What happens is it rings once, and then the line goes quiet. And so we'll try to establish contact with him in a little bit. At the moment, what we'll do is go open line, and we'll talk about this photograph that a lot of people are talking about all over the internet, and like to know what you think about it. And maybe maybe you can shed a little light on that. But we'll see. And it's the photograph taken by the rover Spirit. It looks like it could be human. All right, let me attempt to get in touch with Jerry, and I shall return here in just a moment. On the Kevin Smith Show, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening, Kevin.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine tonight. I guess the paranormal shows back to paranormal.
Oh, yeah. Those things happen sometimes.
Well, that's it. That's life.
And let me tell you, they're trying to phone here, and it shows up that they are trying to phone in. I answer the phone, there's nobody there. I call them, it rings once, and they apparently answer, but they can't hear me, I can't hear them. I don't know what the problem is. We talked on the phone just a few minutes ago.
Weather and technology.
Yeah, most likely weather.
Well, yeah, but lots of these cell phones are really, they even get into they're even plugged onto all the internet. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there with electronics now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, about that picture.
Yep.
I heard on another show last night, I think it was Barry's, Dick Barry's or something. Guy, anyway, you had him on your show. He did that. He looked at the picture three-dimensional, and it's just a piece of dirt. But anyway, they had a good talk about it on the show.
Well, yeah, it may be. You know, I mean, there's no way of actually knowing that because the picture becomes so pixelated when you enlarge it.
What he said is he's got the pictures from the site and other pictures. Anyway, he looked at it like he put it three-dimensional on his computer so he could see all around it.
Yeah.
And it was just a piece. Anyway, somebody phoned in from Hollywood, too, and they had the same conclusion that it was just...
Well, yeah, and it very well could be. But, you know, keep in mind that there are still people out there who say the face on Mars is a piece of dirt, too.
Well, the bigger story is in NASA.
Mm-hmm.
With the fight going on, the people that want to go on asteroids and mine them, the other people that want to go on the moon and mine it, and then the other people that want to go to Mars, and none of them will get along, and we're going to fall so far behind the other countries, it ain't funny.
Yeah, could happen. It sure could.
Well, you know, whoever gets up there and builds first, you know, they just charge the other guys for the use of it, eh?
Yeah.
That's a snack. Anyway, I hope you get in touch with your guests. I'm looking forward to the show. I just figured I'd give you a little hand out there, talk to you a little bit at first, and give you my opinion. It's a great picture, though.
It's very interesting, isn't it?
But I would still rather have some close-ups of Sedona's on there and of the face and other things that we know that are there. And, you know, I hope NASA would focus in a little better.
They're going to leave Cydonia alone, I'm pretty sure. I don't think we're ever going to get good, clear pictures of Cydonia.
And what did you hear, what's his name there? He was on your show. He did the tether thing. the pit of the line for when it broke. He broke that. He talked about that story a lot. The DACA?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Anyway, he came on a while ago and he talked on your show there. He's pretty well known there.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said he had some of his information from NASA. Some guy talking to him, one of his contacts, talked a little bit, you know, left and right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
He said that that meteor that's coming in to hit Mars,
yeah,
had a 50-50 chance to hit the Earth, but he didn't want to make anybody nervous about it. So he said it's just, you know, the guy didn't say it, but he said it had a chance. Anyway, I don't know, but that was on coast last night, so I don't know.
I got to tell you, I doubt that it has a 50-50 chance of hitting Earth. I really do.
Well, I do too, but it's, you know, there's another one. I didn't know that. I know I've been watching for this one at the end of the month, but there's one behind it.
Hmm.
That's what he was saying anyway. Was nice. So I've been trying to find more on the internet about it, but I can't find a head or hair about it. So.
Well, if you can't find any information about it, then that one might be a little bit dangerous.
Well, I mean, just so you know, you hear these people come on, and every once in a while, it's a good boost for the show. Right?
Well, listen, I appreciate the call.
Okay, get it.
All right.
And nice weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, well, the mystery continues. We are open line 1-800-289-1092. As I say, the mystery continues at this point. I don't know what has happened. Something strange is going on with Jerry Will's telephone. When we call now, we get only busy signals. And so I don't know. Let's see. You may even be able to hear this. Let's see. You probably can hear it in the background. Ah, there you go. That's what I get when I call now. So I don't know. I certainly hope that Jerry is okay, but I suspect it's a weather issue in his part of the country. Weather is an interesting thing. Usually out here in the desert, in the summertime, the forecast is simple. Tomorrow we're going to have a lot of sun, and it's going to be hot as blazes. And that the forecast for the week, a little hotter than blazes, much hotter than blazes, and it'll cool off to blazes by the weekend. That's the way it kind of goes out here all summer. But in the wintertime, it cools down. It's pretty nice out here in the wintertime, and once in a while we get some really unusual stuff called rain, and it's raining now out here in Phoenix, and for us that is pleasant. We don't get a lot of that stuff, but it's important, and certainly is pleasant. What do you think about people who say that they are spiritual healers? Now, it's easy to make a blanket statement and say, oh, I think it's real. Or to make a blanket statement and say, I think it's all bogus. And I think you've got to take each one on an individual basis. There are people who have documented track records, and I really wanted to get Jerry on and talk with him tonight because he is one such individual with a very documented track record, and documented even by Fox News. And he has a tremendous amount of success in helping people get over and get over their illnesses and through their illnesses, and sometimes even things that the doctors have said is absolutely going to be terminal. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is this Jerry?
Yes, it is. I've been trying to call your other number, but it's not working.
I've been trying to call yours, and it isn't working. So I don't know. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I'll tell you what. Let me do this. Let me... I'm going to run a test on the other number as we speak, all right?
All right.
And let's see if it is the other number. It could be. It could be the other line. You're exactly right. It's my line. And I do not know why. But we'll go from here. When I was calling you, was it ringing on your end?
Yeah, I could hear you just fine.
But then after that, I would hear it ring once, and then I could hear nothing after that.
Yeah, I was picking it up the moment that it rang.
Well, what do you think about spiritual healers, Jerry?
Oh, I don't know if I put very much credibility into that.
Folks, the last time Jerry was with us, he was in Peru, and we were talking about some pretty amazing things that you were discovering down in Peru, and in fact, you had sent me some photographs that I still contend look like star charts. Did you ever make any sense of that structure, that thing you found out there in Peru?
No, we really didn't figure it out as completely as we had hoped to. You know, it's such a complicated structure and so absolutely unique and different from everything else that you'd find out there that we're still trying to analyze the data and come up with some kind of plausible explanation. The thing is it's kind of like having an ancient language and trying to understand what that language is trying to tell you. The design that's out there on that plateau in Pulpa is such that we know that it has a lot to do with geometry, but we have a feeling that it's speaking to something else, and that's why we really haven't released any data yet, just to simply say, look, here's a really interesting geometric design. Doesn't satisfy our curiosity, and I think for anyone else that would be interested in knowing more about it, it would just be kind of a letdown to stop at that point. So we've been actively investigating it, but we just don't have any more information right now.
I said at the time, and I say again that to me it looks like some kind of a star chart. But I didn't get the impression from you that it had that impact upon you.
Well, no, actually, it kind of does look like a star chart, but there's so much more going on there. For example, when we take a graphical representation of the equation that defines water, it will overlay that design perfectly. It just fits right over the top of it. Key points in that equation are represented in the geometric figure out there in the desert. There's also the equation as a graphical representation that's called the optimization of a circle. That lays over the top of it precisely as well. You can also take the golden mean and lay it over this, and it lays over the top of it and meets the point criteria beautifully. But there are some things going on with that design that still escape us, and we've kind of farmed it out, to a variety of different personalities across the world, and not like dozens and dozens, but four or five people. And these folks are looking at it and trying to come up with their own background to put that input into it. And these are folks that are mathematically minded individuals. For example, this one fellow, he's a theoretical mathematician. And that's kind of the nature of these people that we've given these images to. If there are any listeners out there who are interested to find to find these images and to put their own 2 cents worth in, it's real simple. Just go to expeditionstv.com and look at the link that says, "What is this?" And you'll be able to see the images, and if you have an idea, forward it on to us, because we're really trying to get as many different points of view on this as we can. if there's anyone out there who's into quantum physics or astronomy or whatever, we're really open to any suggestions you might have.
Well, let me ask you a question that's a little bit off topic. Do you have your computer on where you can hear the show?
Well, I do, but the gizmo that you have where we click in and listen to it, it doesn't work on a Mac.
No, it won't. It sure won't. And they tell me that they are working on a player for Mac, but it'll be a while before they have it. The reason I was asking that is because I would like for you to be able to hear the song that's going to play during the break. It's the one I told you about. And there will be, on this phone line that we're on now, there's no way for me to fix this where you can hear it. I don't think there is. But anyway, you'll be able to hear it in the download later. Now, after you left Peru, you came back to the United States, and you know, you're kind of an eclectic individual. You go exploring places and producing television shows and DVDs, and then you also are an intuitive, medical intuitive, a spiritual healer, energy healer. And you're back here in the United States, and you've been traveling around. I think you told me you've logged about 20,000 miles. And what's happening? What are you doing now?
Well, we came back from Peru late August, and after we'd gotten back here, we went to a friend's used car lot, put an order in for what we were looking for, and within a couple of weeks we had a really nice Chevy Suburban. Since that time, we've traveled back and forth across the United States a lot. I don't know how many times, really. We've gone north and south and east and west. About 20,000 miles. It's a lot of driving. We've really been doing this nonstop since August. What we've been doing is going to different places in the United States. We just got finished with the one here in Memphis. It's called the Gateway Experience. If you go to jerrywills.com, you'll see that there's a link there that says the Memphis Gateway Experience. It's still active. You can go there and click on it, and you'll have an opportunity to see what it is that we're doing. Basically, it's this, Kevin. We're going around to different places where we've been invited since we got back, and putting on a presentation that lasts about 10 hours. During that time, the first 2 or 3 hours is devoted to the ancient mysteries and the research that Kathy, that's my wife, that Kathy and I have been doing in South America. We show pictures, we discuss the things we found, and, you know, stories, really, as well, from the last 10, 15 years of research that I've been doing down there, and the last 10 that Kathy's been with me and doing. Then after that, the next segment, which again lasts about, well...
Jerry, I hate to break in, but a break is taking over, and I want to hear all of this story without it being cut up a lot. So let's go to the break, and when we come back... tell you what, go ahead and hang up, and I'm going to try to call you on the other line. I think it's working now.
And, all right, fabulous.
All right. And folks, we'll be back right after this, one way or the other.
Looked away. Her hair was raven and her eyes and truth, and we stood at the gateway of the sun with our love. We soared among the clouds. We had just begun a night in Machu Picchu, where the mountains touch the sky. Oh, a night in Machu Picchu, where the stars are in your eyes. Oh, she was afraid of a man in her past, running from the violence and the shame. And I took a vow to protect her to the last, as we stepped aboard that faded train. And we stood at the gateway of the sun with our love. We soared among the clouds. We had just begun a night in Machu Picchu, where the mountains touch the sky.
Welcome back. I think we've got Jerry on the correct phone line now. Are we still connected, Jerry?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. What'd you think of that song? Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah, it's nice. You came back to the United States, and you were telling us about the Memphis Gateway experience. So let's pick up there and move forward.
Well, we did the Memphis Gateway Experience last Saturday, but we've been going around to different cities, really in the southeastern portion of the United States, putting these on, and it's been well received. You know, really good crowds, groups of people, and they've come away from it feeling like they got more than what they ever thought they were going to get. And aside from doing the Gateway Experience, we've just been going different places and working with folks as folks have called in and asked for us to come into their community for me to work with them.
You know, I told you the first time you were on the show with me, and I've told you a couple of times since, I am very skeptical of spiritual healers. And that includes, now look, I know, look, lots of folks listening to the show are very committed, dedicated Christian people, and some are not. So when I say this, I always get some email, but try to understand what I'm saying and where I'm coming from before you write to me and invite me to spend eternity in hell, which I get that frequently. I'm very skeptical of spiritual healers, and that includes the evangelists that I see on television that are healing people, are saying that they are. And yet, I do know that along with a great deal of counterfeit out there, there's some real gold. And yours, the reason that I asked you on the show the first time is because yours has been well documented. I think probably the most dramatic that we know about is the fellow that was in the coma, and they were going to discontinue his life support. Been in a coma, I think, what, a year?
I don't remember at this point. I know he had been in a coma for a while.
Yeah. And you went in, spent a little bit less than an hour with him, and he came out of the coma and eventually came out of the hospital and returned to work and returned to his family.
Right.
So, you know, this is one that's well documented. This is not something that is imaginary. And that was originally the reason I asked you to be on the show. Since then, of course, I've met you, and I've discovered that not only are you involved with the spiritual healing and expeditions, but you also happen to be a great supporter and fan of my favorite rock group, which is Element 115.
Mm-hmm.
And
You're
their videographer.
Yes, I do. I do the video for them.
And you know, when I met you at your home and you had that group of people there, it was a really different kind of a group, a special kind of a group. And they were all sort of clued in and what can I say? They were switched on
right.
Spiritually. And it was very, very interesting. You told some stories, some accounts of some healing situations that you'd been involved in, and I wonder if you could kind of share some of the recent stories with us tonight.
Well, stories of healing, stories from Peru, what would you like to hear about?
Yeah, the stories of healing.
Oh, well, there's a lot of those. Golly. I have to kind of run back to my mind. I think since we started this trip, I've probably worked on, my goodness, well over 100 people, maybe more than that. Probably closer to 200 or 300. I think the one that sticks out of my mind immediately is a gal that I worked on, or I'm sorry, a guy I worked on in Nashville. I was doing, Kathy and I were doing the Gateway Experience. We were there with Bill Foss, and Bill was doing the music and the art, and it was really wonderful what he was doing. And towards the end of the Gateway Experience, I spend the last couple hours just working on folks who are in the audience. That's their stuff. If they're there and they stayed that long and they have something wrong, well, then I'm going to work with them. And their admission, you know, that's all they have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the back of the room, there was this fellow, and I'd worked on 3 or 4 folks, and, you know, it was typical things like, oh, my back is hurting, oh, my arm's hurting, that sort of thing. It was very common circumstances, because a lot of us have that going on, and to get some relief from it, that's wonderful. Kathy, just out of the blue, said, Jerry, work on that guy right there. As she turned around, in the back of the room was this fellow sitting with his wife or his girlfriend. I said, sure, come on up. So he looked a little bashful, a little surprised, but he came up. As it turns out, when he was, and this is how I remember the story, so I'm hoping that I get it correct, as best I remember it. Apparently, when he was younger, in his teens, something had happened, and he had been hurt really bad, and it caused really bad problems in his back, and I believe it was in his knees. He'd been in just abject pain, by my calculations, for about 30-some years. Medicine couldn't touch it. There was anything anyone could do to help him. He was just going to live the rest of his life in all this pain. Well, I didn't know that going into it. He just said that his back hurt and his knees hurt. And so I worked on it. About 15, 20 minutes goes by, and I finish, and I ask him how he's doing. And he's just solemn, and he said, I don't have any pain at all. Well, It was later that I found out that he'd been in pain all those years. Some of the folks in the audience apparently knew the story, and it was related to me at that time. And he was just beaming. He was just absolutely beaming. He was so excited that he didn't have any pain. Well, it kind of whacked me because I was already tired. I'd already been, I don't know, at that point about 9.5 hours had been talking and working with these folks. And now, you know, I was really burnt out. So I excused myself after a little bit. And a little bit while later, I guess about 15, 20 minutes later, I was downstairs having a cigarette, trying to drink some coffee. And he came by, thanked me again, and then other people came up and started telling me how absolutely, completely free of pain he was. So I thought that was pretty astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other folks, too. There was a gal down in Florida, an older lady. She's, I don't know how old she was, in her 80s, I think. And she was having some pretty bad pain. You know, her joints were giving out and so forth. Well, she wanted to be free of pain because she wanted to go help the old folks in the old folks' home, which I thought was just hysterically wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
So I worked on her, and she said she felt fine. Well, it's been at least 2.5 months, maybe 3 months since I saw her, and I heard from a family member just a few days ago who came here to Memphis for the event, and they told me that she's doing just great. She's going all over the place helping folks. She has no pain whatsoever. Her back is straightened up, and she's doing wonderfully. Another gal that had some kind of a brain condition, and I don't really remember what it was called, but what it amounts to is that you're going along and suddenly you just want to fall asleep and you just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was on lots of medication for that, lots of medication for the pain that she was having and the nervous condition she was having. I worked with her about 45 minutes, and when I finished, I said, okay, go enjoy your life. She felt pretty good when she left. Well, she was related kind of sideways to the older lady I just told you about. As it turns out, she has not used any medication at all for the past 2.5, 3 months, and she's doing great.
You know, the reason I wanted you to share some of those stories with us is that all of us, everyone listening to the show right now, all of us from time to time have things wrong with us. And one of the things that I notice, if I go to a doctor, which is very rare, but if I go to a doctor, it's almost always take two pills and call me in the morning. And, you know, the symptoms can be alleviated, but the problem is still there. And with the stories that I have heard, not only from you but about you, and that I've seen in the media about you, apparently it's not just the symptoms go away, but the problem goes away.
Right. And, well, getting rid of the symptoms doesn't help.
Yeah. Makes you feel okay for right now. But then it's coming back, and usually with momentum. Now, we have a break coming up, and so what we're going to do is kind of get into this on the other side of the break. But here is the deal. I want us to talk about a little bit about how does this happen? How does this work? Because it's a mystifying thing. And, I mean, is it quantum physics involved? Is it total miracles involved? What's the deal? We'll see what you think about that when we come back. Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back. We're talking with Jerry Wills. And, Jerry, I think to sort of set this up for us to discuss, I should describe a couple of things for folks. First of all, Jerry, how tall are you? About 6'6"?
6'9".
6'9"?
Uh-huh.
Well, you're taller than I thought you were. All right, 6'9". How much do you weigh?
Oh, I'd say about 235, maybe 240.
Okay.
Depends on where I ate the day before.
All right. So the reason I bring that up, when you meet Jerry, he is physically, I don't want to say an imposing figure because he doesn't seem threatening, but obviously much taller, a larger person than most of us. When I came to your house, and we had there was a gathering of a lot of people there. There were several things that took place. One thing, we watched a movie, and this was a movie about I can't remember the name of it, but it was about a guy that had lost his career, lost his family, became homeless, and then worked his way out of that and actually became a motivational speaker, and was helping people to put their lives together.
Yeah, that was Conversations with God.
Conversations with God. And that's based on a true story, isn't it?
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah. All right. Now, the crowd was really tuned into this. But this, I was watching this kind of with a journalist's eye, as well as enjoying it. This was anything but a woo-woo meeting. It was not, there was no woo-woo in it. And in talking with you and in meeting you, you're not a woo-woo kind of a person. Very real, very, you know, feet on the ground and very level and not a lot of esoteric things that are not related to reality. So when you work with people and you work to bring about their healing, what do you think is at work here? What's happening?
Well, there are several different perspectives on this, Kevin. It's very easy and generally acceptable to say, well, this is the presence of God, and just leave it at that. Because everyone understands that though they may not know what God is, God must be pretty powerful, which is true, and I accept that completely. But when I, as a person with a scientific background, when I take a look at this, because I'm sitting there with a front row seat, not only am I trying to observe what I'm doing at times and observing what the result is, but I'm being very attentive to how I feel, what I feel happening, and what the you know, what all the small idiosyncrasies of this might be. As I'm looking at myself doing this, I'm trying to find an answer. Now, early on, I would say 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, I was trying to figure out what the trigger was that actually turned this on, because I knew I could do it, I just didn't know how to turn it on at will. I finally came up with, let's call it the algorithm that allows me to turn this on, turn it off, and moderate how strong it is. And that was all through a process of evaluation and just paying attention to what I was doing and what the results were. From that perspective, what I've come up with, and of course this is from, you know, me reading a lot about quantum mechanics and string theory and going into all kinds of different scientific arenas to try and really understand, what I've come up with is, on one hand, rather basic, and on the other hand, quite exotic. The basic part of it is this. Everything is made of energy, so therefore, energy is somehow mutable. If it weren't, we wouldn't be on the radio right now, we wouldn't have a TV, we wouldn't have a computer. Energy is mutable, and it is mutable because we can control it. If we have an idea of what it is we're controlling, this is where it starts going into that gray area between basic and exotic. How do you control the human energy field? And in controlling the human energy field, what are the mechanisms that are controlling, and what are the mechanisms that are being controlled? What I have decided that the mechanisms that are being controlled, because that was my first point of inquiry, was that it's just pure and simple an ambiguous field or flow of energy, a resource of energy, let's call it, that we can't really define how much is there, but there must be a lot there. A bottomless well of energy, let's say.
All right.
So now that we have that somewhat established, what is the mechanism of control? And what I've come up with on that is that energy in every form, everything that you look at around you that's running on electricity right now, it's all been controlled, manipulated, caused to do work, and the first thing that caused that to happen was the conception of an idea, and that idea was put into play. So therefore, awareness and consciousness are the mechanisms that control the flow of energy, and it can happen in a TV or it can happen within your body. Then we go back to a scripture that says, what a man believes, that's what he'll become. And paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so basically then, what you're doing is you have found a way to tap into this energy field that surrounds all of us and flows through us. And then you communicate with this energy in order to manipulate it, or what do you do?
Well, let's take for example the fellow who had all that pain.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I got myself relaxed in an alpha state, and then I connected to him with my hands. I put my hands on him, and I just breathed him into me. I just basically took a breath. But consciously, I was going, I want to know what this is. And I just took a breath and brought it in, and I started feeling the pain. At that point, for me, something else switches on. And what switches on is like second sight. Kind of like psychometry, when someone holds something and they start seeing who had it, where it's been, and so forth. At that point, I was looking backwards in time and forward, and in the present, and just finding out all the dynamics, all the particulars of this person's problem. And it was like a movie running fast forward and rewind really fast, but somehow I could be aware of what I was seeing and taking it all in. When I saw all of this and had finished at that point of observation, then I took another breath, and then I breathed energy into those places where there was a problem. And in my mind's eye, psychically or otherwise, I saw these places start to change. So I directed their change so that they would look, for example, the vertebrae or the muscles or the connective tissue or the soft tissue, so that it would look like it's supposed to look. Not that I'm any expert, but I could also see mine. And I would use mine as a template and say, well, this is how it looks for me, and I seem to be just fine. So I'll lay this template over the top of this, and now I'll control the energy to do exactly in this person's body what it's doing in mine. When I finished, a short time later, everything was the way it was supposed to be.
Okay.
Now this is somewhat of a process of manifestation at that point.
Jerry, we are about 10 seconds away from our next break. When we come back, we have a good long time before we have a break, and I want to delve off into this a little bit more, and we'll open the telephone lines. I know there are a lot of you out there that you've got some kind of a physical situation, and you may want to ask Jerry about that, or maybe you're involved in this type of healing and you have a question or comment. We'll be back. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
I'll be there in the morning light. We'll be right back.
call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. My guest is Jerry Wills, and we are talking about, I think, really one of the most interesting topics that you can possibly talk about. We're talking about it on a show that, on a program that kind of deals primarily with things that are paranormal, alternative, out on the edge, and yet, Jerry, to hear you describe it, this sounds like it's moving more and more away from the edge as we understand it a little better. And you know, I've never heard anybody describe, as you have, the process and understanding the process. It sounds like that it's something that is becoming more understood. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, there are doctors that call upon you for assistance or consultation.
Well, that has happened from time to time. I guess within the past couple of years, one of the most amazing times for me was I was called into the surgical suite to help the doctors by telling them where to make the incision in a person's throat. Yeah, there's a bit more credibility coming with this, but the credibility really is the result of saying this is such, and then they don't have a test. So then I say, do the test this way, but we've never done a test that way. Talking about using an MRI and doing it a little bit differently. So we'll do it this way and see if I'm right. So they did. Sure enough, I was right. There was the problem. And then once that's out of the way, now that goes back to the doctor. Look, he was right. It's right here. Okay, but right here exactly where? I can't tell from looking at this MRI. We'll bring him into the surgical suite. He'll point it out to you. I go into the surgical suite. I point it out in this person's throat. They make the incision, hook up the suction, and the object comes out. And there you have it. So it's a series of proofs. It isn't just as simple as saying, oh, I see this, and then eventually they figure out that I was correct. That happens too, but when the doctors are involved, they're wanting scientific criteria involved, and that's how they're trained. So it's only right that I give them as much scientific detail, something substantial, that they can fall back on, which validates my position and what I've seen. They don't know how I've seen it. They don't have a clue how this works. But past a certain point, just the fact that all of this equals that much weight of scientific evidence, this one little extra thing right here, where do I make the incision, is just, you know, the last step of that complicated process.
Let's go to the telephone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from Lockport, New York.
Yes, Gary?
Good evening, Jerry.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, if I was any better, I don't think I could stand myself. I was totally fascinated by the statement you made about when you touched this individual and you felt his pain. And I really think that's the key to it, is feeling somebody else's pain. Once you feel that pain and you start to look within yourself and say, well, I don't have that pain here. Let me see what's okay with me and what's not okay with this individual. I just think that's the whole key to it.
Well, and that's called being aware. And being aware basically means that you're now shining a light on an area that you may have missed earlier. Consciousness, being conscious of something, is just saying, I'm awake. But being aware, that's where your consciousness is focused down on something and you're very specific in what your consciousness is stating. And sure, you know, being able to feel another person's pain, but it goes beyond that. If they have some illness where they're not feeling good, then I can pick up on that too.
Well, Jerry, let me ask a question. I think I know the answer. A person's own state of mind plays a huge role in their health, does it not?
Oh, yeah, it really does.
You're aware of the situation that I had, and I was in the hospital, and it could have been a very serious situation. In fact, it was for a few hours. But something happened during that period of time, and the something that happened was an attitude I already had got amplified. Now, the attitude works like this. Number one, if your problem has a solution, why worry about it? On the other hand, if your problem has no solution, why worry about it?
Yeah, that's kind of what I always tell folks, too. It's either going to be okay or it's not, and either way, it has to be okay.
Yeah. And the second thing is this. I don't get paid any more to have a bad day than I get paid to have a good day. It takes the same amount of time to have a bad day as it does a good day. At the end of the day, I did not make any more money if I had a bad day, but I'm not happy. So I just refuse to have a bad day. Now, that got amplified. Now, people hear me say that, and they think, until they know me for a while, they think that's just talk. But it's not just talk. I don't have bad days. Some bad circumstances happen. Some negative circumstances will happen from time to time, but it doesn't affect me. It's like oil and water, you know. It's, okay, it happened, so it happened. Big deal. And I have a good day anyway. I find I'm in much better health since that was amplified.
Well, that's great. That's a good attitude to have.
Well, some people tell me it's ignoring reality, but I don't think so. I think it is reality.
I think maybe it's creating reality.
I'm not sure about creating reality. We'll talk about that. But, here's the deal. Reality stands out there on its own 2 feet, and you get to choose how it's going to hit you. And,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and I've chosen that it's just not going to hurt me, whatever it is. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Jerry, I have a real quick question for you, and then I'll just listen off air for the answer.
All right.
This type of process that you do, this healing, is it almost kind of like an empathic kind of thing? I mean, do you actually absorb any of the negativity at all into yourself? And if you do, do you have to purge yourself? Do you have to kind of release this bad energy? You have a good evening.
Good question.
Thanks for the question. Yeah, that's a good one. The aspect of negativity, I don't really look at any of these things as negativity. I just see them as energy forms, kind of like the Zen version of God, the uncarved block of stone. It just is. And it becomes negative or positive as soon as I polarize it with my own attitude or opinion. So I try to leave that off and away from me because my opinions, I've learned, will always get me into a place where I can stifle what it is I'm trying to do to help someone. So in that regard, when I'm working with someone, say, with cancer, which I did recently, just yesterday, actually, I'm not looking at it as a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing. So at that point, I'm just, totally looking at it as an observer. Regarding what I do with it when I finish, this is where I go into more of a spiritual realm. I see everything coming from the Creator, which is, this is energy, and it comes into me, and I absorb it into me. I worked on a gal from South Africa just a couple days ago, and she had a really serious virus or bacteria, I don't know what it was, that had really, really caused her problems. Well, I just absorbed it into me, and I experienced it. I didn't like it, as far as liking it. But I held on to it long enough to gain some experience from it and some knowledge. Knowledge and experience are going to equal wisdom at some point. Once I got to a point where I'd gained as much as I felt that I wanted to from that experience, then I took a breath and I just released it back to God. And just let God have it, it's, here's a gift. It goes back into the universal consciousness, the mind of God, the presence, whatever you want to call it. And at that point, it left me, and I was fine. So, as far as purging myself, see, I believe that God lives here, and I say that pointing to myself. And I think every person out there listening should do the same thing. Just say to yourself, God lives here. Now, once you've said that, try to understand that there's nothing more powerful than God. If there's something outside here that looks threatening, that you may be afraid is going to affect you, it comes from God also. How can you find the end of you in the beginning of God when you start looking within yourself? It's homogeneous. You really can't do that. So there's nothing outside that's going to be more powerful than God, and therefore more powerful than this omnipotent energy field. Therefore, there's anything to be worried about. It'll be what it is. And it just goes and becomes whatever you decide that it should be. If you decide to hang on to it, then it will affect you. If you decide that you don't need to hang on to it, you're not afraid of it, it won't affect you. Fear is very disabling. And when, as soon as you have a grain of doubt or a bit of fear, you've just opened the door for yourself and your little cosmos inside your body to stop for a moment and wonder, am I going to be okay? There's no question in my mind, I'll always be okay. I don't have anything to worry about because I'm in control of what happens to me.
All right, let's go back to the phone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Jerry, I'm going back to the formation for a second.
It's Jerry.
Sure.
Jerry. Okay, Jerry, I'm going back to the formation for a second. Have you ever tried lucid dreaming?
I just got your email, Brent. Actually, I have tried lucid dreaming. I've tried all kinds of things. I believe that there are other folks out there who are psychically adept at propelling themselves into this subject matter much better than I am. And I'm hoping that, you know, perhaps some of the folks listening, maybe even you, Brent, that have the capacity would go in and see what you pick up on it. What I've picked up is that it was a message left to us from a long time ago that says we were here and here's evidence of it through this fantastic arithmetic geometric symbol. It has as much geometry and math in it as the Great Pyramids, perhaps even more.
Hmm. Now that's an interesting concept. Very interesting. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number throughout North America. If you're living outside of North America, then that number does work, but it's not toll-free. However, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by just sending an email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. All right? flash@kevinsmithshow.com. You know, this whole idea that there is a consciousness that permeates everything is a very, very difficult concept for some people to get their minds around. And yet, there is, in my opinion, scientific evidence that it does exist. And we have had on this show scientists talking about some of their experiments in which I think it shows there is a permeating intelligence, consciousness, mind throughout all the universe. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Marianne from Dayton, Ohio.
Yes, Marianne.
Hi, I have a statement and a question, if I have time for both. Jerry, are you familiar with a Dutch artist named Janosch?
I've heard the name, but I am not intimately familiar with much more than remembering that I've either read about it at some point or have heard the name.
Okay. The reason I'm bringing it up is looking at his website, he apparently has some kind of communication going on between the Arcturians and himself, and he's producing artwork, and he has a bit of artwork on his website that's called the Grail Code 33, and it is that image on What Is This?
Wow, that's interesting. Well, send me an email with a link. I'd like to check it out, and if what you're saying is true, which I don't doubt you at all, then I'm going to get a hold of him and have a discussion with him.
He says on the form here that the meaning of the symbol is silence, the emotion of it is consciousness, and then he does have Egyptian hieroglyphics that are there that are not translated. So, but I will send you that. And just for the listeners, the Arcturians has a hyphen, the-arcturians.com.
All right. Now, you had a question?
Yes, concerning the healing. I was raised, I sound younger than I am. I was raised in an Italian household where healing was brought over from Italy, and we were trained for healing. And we did take in the energies of the sick. Recently, I came to into new information from a Richard Bartlett called Matrix Energetics. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'd like to have your opinion of it, because it is similar with it being the intention manifesting, and then I'll hang up for the answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Good question. Yeah, well, basically, my comment back on that to answer is that there are many people out there who have their view on how to do the sort of thing that I'm doing. What I'm doing, while for some it may be, you know, a bit profound, there are other folks who have their own angle on this, and they're doing some rather profound things as well. I don't have all the answers. And I think if you really want to find that place that gives you as much information as possible, you investigate all of these different people who are doing these things, because that's where you'll find the pieces that you can latch onto, or the pieces that you just let go of. But in the end result, what you'll have is a mass of information from having researched it thoroughly.
You know, I think... I'm not sure, but I think I have used this example in talking with you before. But I think that we have to kind of look at life as a sandwich. Now, let's say that you and I go to a restaurant and we both order exactly the same sandwich, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it may be, all right? So we order the same sandwich. They bring it to us. It's both of them are identical. We both eat our sandwich. What I get out of that sandwich is going to be entirely different from what you get, because your body is going to take what it needs, which is different from whatever my body needs, and my body is going to take what it needs. So you've got the same sandwich, but we get something different from it. Now, that's, I think, the way information is, that's the way life is, that we all get something a bit different because we're getting what we need. And, you know, one of the things that I think is, on the one hand, a bit disturbing, and on the other hand, very restrictive, is when someone says, well, you're supposed to get this from the sandwich. No, that's what they were supposed to get.
Right.
And
it's impossible for another person to tell you.
Yeah.
That's why you have to have the experience.
I think that, you know, people can describe, as you have, describe what you do. We can sort of vicariously experience by imagining what you're doing. In our heads, we're picturing as you describe it. We're visualizing. But then, you know, we have information from you about this, and we have information from a lot of other folks about how they do what they do. And each person has to get what they get. And I could be entirely wrong about this, but I think truth is a sandwich so big that nobody can truly define precisely what everybody else should get.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Jerry, now you mentioned you have a scientific background. You grew up on you grew up on a farm in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's not that I went to college to be a scientist. It's not that. It's just that my innate curiosity has caused me to read a lot of books, you know, going into these areas that I'm interested in. I look for information. I have a passion, really, to feed my mind. I believe knowledge is power. And the more knowledge that any of us have, the better equipped we are to discuss what our thoughts, feelings, and observations are. So that's my scientific background. Although I did do electronics, I had my own business for 30 years in Phoenix, and you know, I've got a rather extensive background in electronics.
All right. The reason I ask about the farm is because I think the further science moves from the farm, the further it moves from the realities that all of us face every day, because at the base, I don't care if you live in the biggest city on the planet, at the base, you're dependent on agriculture. You're dependent upon the farms. The farms die, the cities die. It's that simple. Now, the reason I bring this up is because when you are raised around, when you're on a farm, you're raised around animals. And you notice things that perhaps, you know, people who live in a city, they don't get a chance to notice because they're not around the animals. One of the things that I've noticed, I tried a little experiment. If I go outside and there are birds in the yard, and I start thinking, I'm going to throw a rock at you, I stand there and look at them and think, I'm going to throw a rock at you. I'm going to hurt you. And then I move a hand, just move my hand, not rapidly, just move it, and they'll all fly away.
Uh-huh.
I've also done this. I stand and look at them and say, welcome to the yard. I'm glad you're here. I'm not going to hurt you. I hope you find a lot of food here. And I can move my hand, and they don't fly away. Now, that doesn't prove anything, but it is an interesting phenomenon.
Well, it really goes to how the energy field is being presented, and that really is hand in hand with the process that I use when I'm healing. Your intention and emotional stimulus with that intention are part of the directing process. So whether you're doing it with the birds or doing it with a tumor, it works the same way. It's just going to depend on how focused you are and what you expect the outcome to be, what the emotional charge of your expectation is. When you release that energy and start working with the concept, whether it's feeding the birds, hurting the birds, or working on the infirmary.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. This is Corey.
Okay. Corey, we have about 1 minute till a break, and so if we don't get through your comment or question,
yes, sir.
Just hang on through the break. We'll put you on hold, and we'll wrap up with you on the other side of the break, all right?
did you want to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for having such a great guest, Jerry. My experience is that I'm one of those people that I'm discovering my shamanness, my healing power, and I'm starting to, without any hesitation, use it in real positive ways. And I was wondering if you could direct me to a written source that I can be ready to read now and for further growth and channeling my power. I'm an artist also. And I can take your answer off the line.
Okay, Corey, thank you for the call. And, Jerry, we're going to have to answer that when we come back from break. Let's not forget.
All right.
Reading materials for someone who's just now discovering their abilities in this regard. Folks, I think there are abilities and powers available to us and for us way beyond what a lot of people imagine. What do you think about it? 1-800-289-1092, and we shall return.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. My guest is Jerry Wills, and we are talking about what a lot of people refer to as spiritual healing. And I guess you could refer to it that way. It may reach a point where we talk about quantum physics healing. I mean, it could come to that. I don't know. But, Jerry, the question that Corey asked, he says, look, I'm just beginning to kind of experience this myself, and could you suggest something I might read that would help me?
Well, you know, there are, I think, was it Barbara Brennan has a book out there called Hands of Light. That's not something that I've read, actually. I've paged through it, but I feel intuitively that that would be a good place to start, or at least something to look into. I just don't have anything really that I've written that I could refer him to.
Do you have any plans to write a book?
Well, actually, yeah, I do. There is a book that's being written about me. It's by Rod Haberer. It's called Healer, The Jerry Wills Story. It's not about how to heal exactly, but it certainly is about a lot of the case studies that he's engaged in. He's a news director for Fox TV, and as a newsman, he's been investigating and following my work for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, quite a while, ever since that story that you mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done follow-ups with people that I've worked with. And the book is about that. It's going to be out soon. I don't know exactly when. But if anyone's interested, they can just join my newsletter list. And I'm sure, of course, once that's ready to go, I'll let you know, too. And, you know, maybe we can talk about it at a future date. You might want to have Rod on. He'd be an interesting character.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We have a flash message from Australia. One of our listeners there has this to say. He says, is it a slight trance you go into, Jerry? If so, what is the best way to control it? I've been interested in deep meditation, but don't know if it's a good idea to practice it alone or seek some guidance from someone who knows how to focus on it in a positive way. And then he says, desiderata, a really nice thing to live by. Nice to see it on your website.
Yeah, I like Desiderata. There was a song back in the 70s that was called Desiderata. Someone out there may remember it. If you have it, send me the MP3, please, because I can't find it. As far as doing something to amp yourself up into this, and if it is a trance state, what's a trance state? That's pretty subjective. I'll tell you what, listener in Australia, send me an email, and I'll work with you one-on-one, give you some ideas, and you can try some of the techniques that I'll send to you and see if that helps. Just at this last Gateway experience here in Memphis, I showed folks how to see light coming off their fingertips, and I've heard back from several of them. They've been able to broadcast light off of their hands now. And I'll share those tips with anybody that gets a hold of me.
Oh, that's good. Now, your email address is on your website, but if you will tell folks how they can get in touch with you. Or is it a contact page?
No, it's not a contact page. It's just real simple. Just the initial J at jerrywills.com. Or go to jerrywills.com and click the email link, A or B, and it works the same way.
All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about these gateway experiences. Describe that for us. What is a gateway experience?
Well, I called it the gateway experience because it's like opening the gateway into the next level of human evolution. It explains the past somewhat, at least it opens that gate, looking backwards. We cover the things that Kathy and I have been investigating for the past 10 years or so. The second part of it has to do with you know, kind of a condensed version of classes that I teach so that folks will have an understanding of what it is that I do with some simple demonstrations and some simple instructions so that they can start, for example, the light off the fingers thing, how to bring up energy, how to start focusing energy, and what you can do just to play with this energy. That's how you really get familiar with it. Just go have fun, play with it, do some goofy stuff like light up the air around your hands. And then the last part of the gateway experience is actually having those in the audience who are there come forward, and those who are wanting some help, then I work on them, like that fellow I mentioned when we were in Nashville a few months ago. And I work on folks until I'm exhausted, and then I stop.
Jerry, you're traveling the country. Where are you headed next?
I don't know. You know, it's just really cold. We're here, and I don't like the cold. We're here in Memphis right now. It's about 25 degrees outside. Kathy wants to go down towards Florida. We're supposed to be going back over towards Albuquerque. So we'll probably go to Florida. I don't know.
Yeah, that's usually how it is. The wife wants to go to Florida. You want to go to Albuquerque. Not even a guess, man. You're headed to Florida.
Well, you know, the thing is, Kevin, we've been on the go since we left Phoenix December 31st of 2006. We went to Peru. We were on the go down there quite a bit. We came back, and we haven't stopped. It would be nice just to stop and actually have a home, because we really don't have a home right now. We're just going place to place for 1 or 2 weeks at a time and going to the next place.
So do you... Now, you were out here in the Phoenix area for about 30 years or so, and
yeah.
That's where I met you, was out in this area. You know, I tell people that in the summertime, Phoenix is like living in North Hell, because
yes.
It gets so incredibly hot. And I think you were here when we hit 122 degrees.
I was there when we hit 128 degrees.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. I was here when we hit 122. And people don't believe me when I tell them, but it's true. When it gets like that, and you go out to get in your car, you better have some kind of a cloth or a pot holder or something in your hand when you open that car. It's going to burn you.
Yeah.
And it really does get miserably hot out here. But after the summer, we have about 6 months of really great weather. Is there any chance that you might be headed back this way?
Oh, of course. We'll be coming back to Phoenix. Absolutely. And I don't know exactly how soon. It'd probably be, you know, a few weeks before we make it that direction again, because it's a long drive.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. The reason I ask that, I happen to know people out here. Of course, I live out here, and I know people out here. I have told some of these folks about you, and you. I hope you don't get offended at this, and you may even get a chuckle out of it, but I told one lady that I have talked with you about, I told her that you're as close to an extraterrestrial as anybody I've ever met. Because of your incredible insight and abilities. And I want to say on the air and for the record that when people sit down and talk with you just for a few minutes, doesn't matter what they talk about, doesn't matter what the topic is, they're going to learn things that they didn't know, and it's just an amazing thing. The reason I say that is because I engaged you in conversation about topics that I was very familiar with, and found that you had insight in some of the statements, whether you realized it or not. You had some insight in some of the statements you made that took me beyond where I was with that knowledge. And I think, I think that was a very positive thing.
Well, that's part of the working with energy concept. You know, when you're listening to someone speaking to you and you're pulling the energy from them into you and you're really being aware, sometimes you give answers that you're really not aware that you're doing something beneficial or aiding them. But if you give it to them as best as you can, then good can come from it. I've always said that in order to get the best from everyone that you meet, it's really necessary to give them the best of who you are.
Yeah, I think that's true. Jerry, a lot of the illnesses that people come to you with, you've already mentioned it, you know, my knee hurts, my back hurts, and so forth, and I'm not minimizing that because I know it's very real. And if your knee hurts and you're in pain every day, then that's a very real thing. It's not something to be minimized. But there are people who have things that are really medically serious, life-threatening. Do you deal with life-threatening things?
Well, that's how it all started, really, Kevin. I was dealing with people that the medical community had just given up on, and that's where the greatest successes were coming from. If you go to my website, jerrywells.com, and go to the video testimonials, you'll see a whole slew of people that I worked with. One fellow, his name is Doug. He was going to go in. He expected to have his chest cracked open and have major heart surgery.
Okay, I hate to do it. We're going to have to hear about Doug in just a moment. And I want to tell you about a case and just get your opinion, your first thoughts about it. All right, folks, we'll be back with Jerry Wills right after this. We'll take your calls, 1-800-289-1092, toll-free throughout North America.
There seems to be resistance to everything I do. She said it's coming from yourself, and none of it is true. He said, but you don't know the thoughts I have going around and around. She said, I don't have to know that you'll rebound. 'Cause I believe. Getting anywhere. He said, you're brave. You got talent and a certain savoir-faire. She said, but you don't know the way I feel with my worry and my fear. He said, I know exactly how you feel in case you need to hear. Before the dawn, and you think you just can't go on, and you're worried about money? You're worried about your health. You're worried you're not funny to anyone but yourself. And you're worried you can't make it. And you're worried that you will. You're worried you can't fake it. You got nothing left but still. I believe in you. I believe in you tonight.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We're talking with Jerry Wills, and we have just a few minutes left. We are on Final Approach for this evening, and we've been talking about his gift and his practice of helping people with health issues. Now, Jerry, I mentioned earlier something that I want to elaborate on just a little bit and get your thoughts on this. I mentioned that most of the time, if I go to a doctor, it's pretty much here, take two pills and call me in the morning, and it's all, you know, pills or injections.
Right.
Now, I think that quite obviously there are times when that's exactly what you need. I have, for instance, I have high blood pressure. And short of coming up with some way for that blood pressure, what's causing it to be high, to be alleviated, then I need to take medicine to keep the blood pressure down. That keeps me alive. But what a lot of people don't realize, because we hear this sometimes, we hear from medical professionals sometimes in talking about faith healers or spiritual healers, etc., they refer to it, and I've heard this, sometimes they refer to this as modern-day sorcery. Well, the thing about it is that the word sorcery is an English translation of a Greek word, and that Greek word is pharmakia, which means drugs. It is the medical profession who are the sorcerers, in the strict sense of the word. That's where it comes. That's where the word pharmacy means sorcerer's store. That's what it means.
Well, how about that?
And the word sorcery means use of drugs. And so whenever they prescribe drugs, and I'm not saying they're wrong to do so, nevertheless, that is sorcery. And maybe what you're plugged into is, rather than sorcery, is far more natural and perhaps even more powerful. But I don't think it's an either-or situation, and this is what I want to get you to comment on. I don't think it's either-or. I think they complement one another, and sometimes what is needed is surgery. Sometimes what is needed is sorcery or drugs. And sometimes what is needed is energy. What do you think?
I agree. I don't think that I don't think the energy medicine aspect of it is the ultimate answer to a state of well-being. Once you get to where you need some help, you know, I mean, there are folks that need to have their bones set. And while I can take a broken bone and either repair it instantly or cause it to heal very, very quickly, if person like myself isn't there to do it, then there's someone else who has this background on how to set a bone. If an appendix is inflamed and about to rupture, maybe an appendix operation is the best result, or a baby that needs to be born cesarean. I think that there's room in the world for all of this. There isn't any one thing that takes precedent over the other. I think it's all complementary. But if it isn't seen as complementary, which is the problem we've been dealing with for the past 100 years at least, then it becomes very lopsided, and at that point, modern medicine becomes the thing that has to be for everyone in every case. And I don't think that's correct either.
Have you ever eaten a cake, Jerry?
A cake?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had one yesterday. It was very good. It was chocolate.
You know, if you take the ingredients of a cake and eat just one of the ingredients by itself, it's generally not too good. You know, I mean, flour is just not too good to eat by itself.
That's right.
And all the other ingredients, if you just eat it by itself, it's not too good. When you mix it together, it's fabulous. And I think that what has happened in our world is the... people segment things and segregate them into their component parts and say, this part is the way to go. And it's kind of like eating flour. If you mix them back together and integrate them, it's like eating a cake. It's much more pleasant and I think much more beneficial. But that's my opinion.
Well, I agree with you.
You know, if a doctor sets a broken bone and then you energize the healing, instead of it taking 2 months for me to get this bone healed, maybe it takes a couple of weeks or less.
I had to regenerate mine in 5 days.
Yeah?
That was tough.
Well, but see, that is that cake I'm talking about. It's much more pleasant if we don't segregate the healing process into component parts, and if we keep it integrated. And, you know, as the recipe is being mixed, you know, if what we need is a little surgery, we'll do it. And if what we need is a pill, swallow it. And if what we need is energy manipulation, do it. And then we're well and healthy quicker.
Exactly.
Jerry, what are your plans? We've got about 3 minutes here. What are your plans? We talked about this a little bit, maybe Florida, maybe Albuquerque. But beyond that, I mean, you have Expeditions TV. Are you going back to Peru? Are you going to some other place on the planet? Well, what are your plans?
Yeah, we're going to go back to Peru and shoot some more video down there. We're going to have 2 trips, at least one, and hopefully 2 trips this year. So folks that are interested to go to Peru with us, we're going to go back down there. One of them is towards the end of June, and the other is towards the end of August or into September. They can just connect with us if they are interested to go or watch the website. Aside from that, we're going to be continuing with the Gateway Experience. As soon as it gets warm, we're going to be going up the eastern seacoast, seaboard, up into Maryland, Connecticut, all the way down into Florida, and presenting these seminars. They've been standing room only so far, and it's really enthusiastic to see folks responding so well to the information. And, of course, having a chance to work with people who are needing some help is really, you know, it's wonderful to be involved in that, too. But that's our immediate goals.
How long are you going to be in the United States now?
Well, I guess we're going to be here at least until sometime around the end of June.
It's kind of, you said you wish you had a home, but it's kind of hard to do that when you're leaving again, isn't it?
I know. Well, that's the reason we don't have a home, because we'd never be there. So why have that expense? But at the same time, you know, we've got the next episode of Expeditions. We were recently in Joplin, Missouri, where we videotaped the spook lights and did some investigating on that. We want to put that up online.
We have run out of time. It's gone by in a hurry. I want to thank you for being with us, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Anytime.
All right, just stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of this evening's show. We just are out of time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too, and you can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.